Let's pray. Father, it is good to be in your presence again this morning to worship you. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for your Spirit. Jesus told the disciples that he would not leave us alone, but he would send the Comforter, and we're so thankful, Father, for you, our Heavenly Father, seated on the throne in heaven, for Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, our Savior and Lord, who died on the cross, and we're so thankful this morning for your Spirit. May your Spirit move in this church and in churches everywhere. May you be glorified, O God. Father, I just want to pray again this morning for those that are hurting. I pray especially for the Mike Grittner family. Thank you, Father, for having known Mike for these years. Thank you that his faith and trust was in you. And now he has gone on to be with you. I want to pray for their family and those that have lost loved ones lately. I just want to pray that you'd continue to comfort them, Father. I want to pray, too, Father, for those that are not well in their soul. They may be sitting in churches today. They maybe never go to church. Church may be the farthest thing from their mind, but I want to pray for each and every one today. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them too. Their ears and their hearts would be open to Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, for the lost, those on the broad road Jesus said leads to destruction. We pray, not being judgmental of anybody, but praying, Father, please open their eyes before it's eternally too late. I want to pray for those that are sick. Many names on our prayer focus. Many that are hurting, suffering, wondering. I want to pray, Father, that they are completely in touch with you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you would walk with them through the difficult valleys that they have found themselves in. I thank you for each and every person here this morning, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit would speak to us as we look at Scripture a little bit and as we celebrate communion in a few minutes. I pray that your Spirit would speak to us. We've come to worship you. We've also come to hear from you. And so guide us in this service this morning, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I have two announcements, first of all, before I go to Scripture. First, I want to say, because many of you have asked, how are you? I am fine. I have had a number of tests in the last couple of weeks, and I am just fine. Thank you. At least that's what she's told me. Someday I'll tell you, I'm not going to this morning, but someday I'll tell you more about the tests that one must go through to have your bladder scoped out. I'll tell you more about that someday. Not today, however. I am just fine. Thank you for your prayers. The second announcement I want to mention to you is your church board and I, your interview committee, your church board and I, have offered a job offer to an assistant pastor. And so he has accepted that, and he will be going through the process now of conference approval. Okay, he's already a Free Methodist pastor. He's actually finishing up his military gig in Kansas right now. He's on a base in Kansas, and he will be coming here per conference approval on July 1st. And so be praying for Charles and his family. He's really, really excited to come. I'm not sure if he knows what the weather's like, but he's really excited to come to Minnesota. He's already pasting picture of the Minnesota flag on his Facebook, and he's never lived in Minnesota in his life. But he's about to, and he and Jennifer, his wife, and their three children, 17, 15, and 10, I think, will be moving here this late spring and early summer, pending conference approval, but that should be a formality. So be in prayer for Charles as they seek a house up here and move their family up here and become our assistant here by July 1st. Now, Because we haven't done communion as a church, we did it Good Friday, but lots of us didn't have the chance to come. Because we haven't done communion as a church family for a good while, I wanted to take the time today to do communion. But before we do that, I have a little message, a little lesson for us, and I'm going to go to John chapter 20. And so if you have your Bibles, this is just a kind of a follow-up from Resurrection Morning. We had a great week last week, didn't we? God is so good, and our Easter services here were just ordained and blessed by God. I hope that if you weren't with us, I hope you had a great day too. And so this is just a continuation of that. John 20, the setting is that same day, Resurrection Morning, only now we're in the evening. And so I want to give us just a little word here from John 20, then we'll prepare for communion. I'm beginning at verse 19, if you're following along in your Bible. Then the same day at evening, that is Resurrection Morning, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now this is the same day when you read the four Gospels that the women had already been to the tomb, they'd already found it empty, and all the things that are around that empty tomb. Those two on Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, they had had that conversation with Jesus. That's all happened already. The disciples are now at this room. They're locked behind doors because, as it says here, for fear of the Jews. And lo and behold, there was Jesus. Didn't need the door. He was just there. And he said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. After all, you remember that the women had already been to the tomb. They'd already told the disciples he's alive. And if you read Mark chapter 16, you'll remember that the disciples didn't believe it. And so here is Jesus in their midst. So when Jesus said to them, "Again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me," Jesus said, "I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then he said to them, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas was called the twin. Some of your Bibles will say Thomas called Didymus. That means twin. Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them on this particular evening when Jesus came. The other disciples, apparently when they did encounter Thomas, the other disciples therefore said to them, "We have seen the Lord," just like the women said the disciples earlier that day. And so he, that is Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And what he was saying simply is, "I don't believe he is raised from the dead." Now, lest we be too harsh on Thomas, I know we like to label him doubting Thomas and everything else, read Mark 16 and you will see the disciples said the same thing earlier the same day. They did not believe the women when the women said, "He is alive. The tomb is empty." The rest of the disciples did not believe that without seeing him either. So, lest we be too hard on Thomas when he said, "Unless I see him, I will not believe," the rest of them were the same, and we probably would have been the same. Now, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. As I pondered this text here over the last couple weeks, I wonder how oftentimes we're just like Thomas. You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, maybe it's because you haven't had your prayer answered the way you wanted. Maybe it's because the timing of your prayer request was, in your opinion, completely wrong. Maybe it's because someone in your family or your close circle is sick and you don't see the hand of God anywhere. Maybe we have just become skeptical and we also say in our hearts, give me some proof, O God, that you even care. You see what I'm saying? I think a lot of the time we find ourselves quick to point fingers at doubting Thomas, and yet we fall into the same category quite often, I fear. Maybe you've just been discouraged in your faith lately, and we have become like Thomas when we say to ourselves, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And maybe even our lives indicate, I'm not so sure I believe in him anyway. Maybe we were on fire for the Lord once and now we've cooled off. And maybe really what we're saying is we're just like Thomas. Show me some proof that you even exist, even care, or are going to answer my prayers, or I won't believe either. Maybe we have arrived at the same place Thomas had arrived. But I want to tell you this morning, friends, it is at these times that Jesus, the Master, the resurrected Christ, beckons us, come and draw close and believe. It's at these times when we're struggling. You don't suppose Thomas had a few struggles that day. After all, the Master, he had seen hanging on the cross. He had seen him die, as had the rest of them. You don't suppose that there was some struggles in his spirit about his faith, some questions, and we have them too. But it's precisely at these times when we're struggling, when we're wondering, and perhaps even would say to our closest friends, unless I see him move, I'm not going to believe no more. Perhaps we felt like that. But it's at these times Jesus beckons us, draw close and believe. Draw close to me, he says, and believe. You say, yeah, but Jim, I'm not going to get the chance like Thomas did to have the invitation to put my finger in the nail because he's not here. Physically, he's not here. And I'm not going to get that chance. And that's true enough. But look at what Jesus said. Look at what he said to Thomas when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We have not seen him in the flesh like Thomas did that night and the others did earlier that day and the ladies did at the tomb earlier that morning. We have not seen, but Jesus is the one that said to Thomas and to us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed in him. You remember what Hebrews 11 says. And one says, excuse me, when it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Thomas was hoping he would see him alive. But then it says, it is the evidence of things not seen. He hadn't seen him. It takes faith. And Jesus said, blessed are you when you believe and you haven't seen. Blessed are you when you cling to him when life is tough. Blessed are you when things are going to heck in a handbasket and you want to say, if that's how you are, God, I don't need you. And Jesus comes to us and said, draw near to me like he did to Thomas, and says, blessed are those who have believed and yet have not seen me. That's faith. When Jesus taught the 12 for those 3 years, and there was lots of others in the entourage that were going from here to there, but when he taught the 12, and then when he commissioned those disciples, and then when he left them and he told them about not being left alone because the Comforter was going to come, the Holy Spirit was going to come, he never said life was going to be easy. He never said life was going to be perfect. Now you've put your faith and trust in me, so everything is going to be perfect. Anybody here experience that? That's what I thought. He never said that, but he said, believe anyway. Blessed are you when you believe and you have not seen the evidence of him lately. Maybe your prayers haven't been answered the way you wanted. Maybe things aren't going well in your life or in your family. And Jesus comes to us and says, draw near to me, Thomas. Draw near to me, and blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. What he did tell those disciples is, your faith would get challenged. What he did tell those disciples is, in the world, you will have trouble. He did tell them that. And yet he still beckons Thomas and us to believe. Even when our faith is wavering, I'm going to need a little proof here, Lord. Going to need to even put my finger in the nail prints. It's at those times we need to draw near to him, as he invited Thomas, come, Thomas, and put your hand in my side. Put your fingers in the nail prints. You see, friends, when Thomas didn't see the risen Christ for himself, he did not believe that he was alive. And sometimes when we don't see the answers to our prayer, or we don't see him at work, well, we're not sure we believe either. And those are precisely the times when he beckons us and he invites us, like he did to Thomas, come close and believe. When your faith is challenged a little bit, when you're wondering if you even believe anymore, it's at those times he beckons us, come close, Thomas, and followers, and believe. And so may I encourage us today, friends, even when you don't see him physically, even when you cannot see him at work in your life, even when it seems like prayers are going unanswered, may I encourage us today to believe anyway. And I know the argument. You say, why should I? I've heard it. And I will refer us back to what he told Thomas when he said, blessed are you and you and you and all of those who believe and yet have not seen. That's why. Believe, because Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. That's why. And so, it's our faith in the risen Christ that saves us, friends. And I want to encourage you in your faith walk today. I want to encourage you to believe when it doesn't seem to make any sense. Oh, we can blame Thomas. We can call him Doubting Thomas and everything else, but we felt the same way. And so did the other 11. And it's at those times he beckons us, come and believe and trust. Put your faith in me and leave it in me anyway. Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this opportunity that we've had to be reminded of your great love for us through our sharing of communion and remembering Jesus our Lord, through the words of Jesus that reminded us, even when we're skeptical, wondering, filled with doubt, anger, anxiety, and worry, it's at those times Jesus is beckoning us, come, believe. Even though we haven't seen him in the flesh in the resurrected form as Thomas did, Jesus beckons us, come and believe. May that be our goal and aim always, regardless of our circumstances. Go with each one of us today, Father, and drawing each one of us close, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.